Morning Srimad Bhagavad Gita class 9:16 June 10th,
2018. The oblations offered to the Pitiloka for the sacrifice performed to please the Pitiloka, considered as a kind of drug in the form of clarified butter, is also Krishna. The mantras chanted in this connection are also Krishna. And many other commodities made with milk, products for offering in the sacrifice is also Krishna. The fire is also Krishna. Because fire is one of the five material elements and is therefore claimed as the separated energy of Krishna. In other words, the Vedic sacrifice is recommended in the Karmakanda division of the Vedas are in total also Krishna. Or in other words, those who are engaged in rendering devotional service unto Krishna are to be understood to have performed all the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. Translation again, please repeat. But it is I among the ritual.
But it is I among the ritual.
I the sacrifice.
I the sacrifice.
The offering to the ancestors.
The offering to the ancestors.
The healing herb.
The healing herb.
The transcendental chant.
The transcendental chant.
I am the butter and the fire.
I am the butter and the fire.
And the offering.
And the offering.
In listing these various representations of Krishna, he is also revealing the nature of his servants. When he identifies himself as the healing herb, what does that teach us about our relationship with Krishna? The emblem of the medical profession, the staff with the serpent coiled around it, comes from Moses, who, leading the Israelites out of bondage, of slavery in Egypt, to the promised land, which was not a very long journey, but it took them 40 years, because they had to become purified in the process. And when their repeated sinful activities caused them the affliction of being bitten by serpents, they repented and turned to Moses, their leader and guru, who turned to God and instructed him to make this emblem of a serpent to carry on his staff. And anyone who looked upon that would be healed. And this is a prefiguration of the supreme healer in Western tradition, who is Jesus himself, who at the time of crucifixion taught us all how to turn to God for healing of the body, mind, and spirits. The herb, the healing herb, represents, from one perspective, the servant of God, who willingly, like the herb, who gives up his life at the time of harvest for the welfare of all, for the welfare of others. The Vaishnava gives his life for the welfare of the world. When Srila Prabhupada met with a group of so-called Christians belonging to the Theosophical Society in Paris. And Srila Prabhupada knew of this type known as Gyanis in the East. And they were very intrigued with secret doctrines that surpass the power of natural reason. They believe in such truths as reincarnation and transmigration of the soul, which the serpent also represents, because it just goes around and around until its tail meets its mouth, symbolizing transmigration of the soul. These Theosophists wanted to meet Srila Prabhupada, and they did. And they asked him, "What are your deepest truths and mystic practices?" And Srila Prabhupada answered, "No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gamma." Now these are gamis who fail to recognize that the path to transcendence begins with humility and respect for all life. So they ask their question again. No doubt these things are very important, but in regards to the soul, what are the deepest truths of your tradition? And Srila Prabhupada said, "No eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling," as if they hadn't heard them the first time. And then they were disoriented and just left. Srila Prabhupada asked them on the way out, "Do you accept that killing is a sin? That Jesus died for your sins?" But they were confused. They couldn't even answer Srila Prabhupada's most basic question, so they left. He said, "You're not Christians." And then a tear fell from his eye down onto his belly, revealing the nature of Srila Prabhupada's heart and the heartbreak of seeing the sacrifice of those who have given their lives for the welfare of the world, so cheapened by armchair mystics seeking souvenirs. And this indicates, as did so many other episodes, that Srila Prabhupada really knew something of Jesus and the nature of that sacrifice, giving your life for others, as indicated here by Krishna, who identifies himself with the healing herb. In the Western world, the healing profession came out of Greek tradition, as does Western philosophy. And the ancient Greeks, who had a system of mythology by which they worship various concocted gods, emulating their activities. And Hippocrates, whose Hippocratic oath is the cornerstone of modern medical tradition, he saw that this doesn't make any sense, as in the case of sexually transmitted diseases. That cannot be cured by emulating their concocted gods, who are quite promiscuous. So Hippocrates studied the nature of healing and formulated a science of healing, which was utilized by Plato, who was concerned with the health of the entire society, which was different from Hippocrates, who was more concerned with the individual, and especially the patient and the healer's relationship. And coming further into the present was another main figure in Western medical profession, Dr. Luke, the Apostle of Jesus, and the only one who earned the adjective beloved accompanying his title as apostle. And Luke formulated an approach to his medical profession which furthered his preaching of the gospel in the missionary field. And his principles can be emulated by all physicians who seek to, as he did, treat the patient as a whole, combination of body, mind, and soul, for which the first premise is humility, where the doctor admits that I'm not the healer. I'm the agent, the representative of he who does the actual healing. And we can understand who the real healer is from the pastimes of Lord Garuda, who, in the series of many revelations leading to the Mahaprakash, the grand revelation, when the devotees were beginning to understand his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and understand when he would be in that mood, as when he came to Srivatsa's house and said, "Now sing that bathing song," and Srivatsa chanted the Purusha Shukta, and they performed Abhisheka of Lord Varanga in very reverential bow, after which Lord Chaitanya removed that reverential mood and became very intimate with his devotees, revealing exchanges he had enjoyed with them before they realized who he was. And if any devotee was not present, Lord Garuda would call for him as that one who came before the Lord, and Mahaprabhu asked him, "Do you remember that night when you had that terrible fever and some unknown doctor came to your bedside and stayed with you throughout the entire night until your fever was healed. And at that instant, that devotee realized that that was the first time of himself. Luke, the good physician, he utilized his training and his gift to further the gospel. And Luke is a beautiful emblem of loyalty, because when the greatest of all apostles, Paul, who Emperor Nero saw as such a threat, interesting, Paul by that time, elderly, emaciated, beaten up, sodden, in the darkest cell of Nero's prison, and Nero, he set Rome ablaze just so that he could blame Paul and have him executed. So, while Paul faced the darkest hour in his life in that dark cell, in the bleak prison, and he was haunted by the shadows of his past misdeeds, and questioned whether Christians still loved him and could apply the forgiveness that Paul inspired others with, that no matter how fallen or hopeless or degraded our condition may be, we are never beyond the reach of God's grace. So, wondering if he was forgotten, the good Dr. Luke ventured to Rome at great jeopardy to his own life. And he visited Paul in that cell and urged him to write one last letter to the Neophyte Christians in the various lands where Paul was, like the GBC, in Israel, in Greece, in Turkey. And he spoke all those languages fluently, along with Hebrew and Aramaic. And Paul was reluctant, but Luke urged him that the great inspiration that you've given to others will be completed if you share your own life story with those who you have encouraged and mentored in their infant faith. Paul conceded, and he wrote his last letter. And in his later verses is one of the best descriptions of bhakti anywhere. Now, Paul was a Pharisee, a topmost Pharisee, which means he understood, he knew the scripture inside and out. Pharisees go with Sadducees, the scribes who would duplicate, before they had printing presses, to duplicate the scripture by hand. Topmost Pharisees who knew the law inside out, from the tribe of Benjamin, the most prestigious lineage. He was a terrorist. He was like the leader of the ISIS of his day until his conversion. So, in this beautiful verse that Paul wrote to inspire others just before his execution, he's talking about himself. Though I may speak in language like angels and devas, if I have not love, that noise is no better than a clanging gong or an annoying cymbal played too loudly. Though I may have prophetic powers to explain and predict all the mysteries and intricacies of the universe, if I have not love, I don't know anything. Though I may give in charity to the extent of delivering my body to be burned, which means martyrdom, which he was facing imminently, if I have not love, I haven't given anything. I may have such faith as to tell this mountain to be cast into the sea and it goes. But if I have not love, I'm impotent. And then he said something very scientific. Love is patient and kind, never arrogant or rude, always delighting in good, never rejoicing in evil. And then here's something we can really apply. Love believes all things, bears all things, endures all things, and hopes all things, and is, in the end, the only thing we need. That last part is very applicable in the medical profession as well as the spiritual. Both doctors and preachers have to face how to explain the inevitable pain and suffering, which obviously comes from our past misdeeds. The question arises why, when we're called to the path of bhakti, we have to face so many more sufferings. That's Krishna's means of refining us and preparing us and purifying us. And therefore, bears all things. Love bears all things. Stand firm in trials and tribulation and challenges, and you will develop patience and tolerance, which is the foundation of character, which gives birth to hope. And by encouraging Paul in his time of great need, Luke assisted in giving birth to the Christian church. Luke was an apostle, which means disciple, of exceptional sweetness and gentleness. And his gospel is so unique in the way he deals with such human frailties as Peter's denial in a very gentle, understanding way. The ambitions of James and John. Dealings with the Pharisees, he just eliminated completely because Jesus was very heavy with them. He called them hypocrites. You know the scripture inside out, but you're so preoccupied with things that are not your concern, and you're ignoring things you should be concerned with. That means don't use your spiritual knowledge to criticize or minimize others. Luke did something very radical for that day and culture. He exalted the status of womanhood. And he obviously received it, because he wasn't an eyewitness, as were the other 12s. The other 12, he derived much of his information on the life of Jesus from Mother Mary. And therefore, he describes the nativity scene in such detail, as well as the crucifix and resurrection with such significance, because who was there through it all? Mother Mary. And racial tolerance as in his tale of the Good Samaritan, who were considered outcasts. But this Good Samaritan did what the Pharisees wouldn't. When he found a man in need, the Pharisee type would say, "May you have your needs met," and then he goes on his way. He doesn't do anything practical. And that kind of devotion is empty, hollow, false. The Good Samaritan took care of that person's needs. Luke practiced and preached the importance of prayer. And he ministered to the whole person, body, mind, and soul. Because our counterpart in the East, Lord Chaitanya is a good physician, has a good address by Jagga and Madha, seeking a prescription for their utterly sinful life. And the good physician in Gaudiya culture is Murari Gupta, whom the Lord loved, just like Lord Ram loved Hanuman, because Murari Gupta is Hanuman. Murari Gupta was so tender and loving and caring in the way he treated the physical and spiritual ailments of all who came to him, that Lord Garunga became ill just to be treated by Murari Gupta. Lord Garunga came to Murari one day and said, "I'm sick." "Well, what's the problem?" "An indigestion." "Well, how'd you get it?" "From you. Yesterday you were so ecstatic that you went home and told your wife to make this big feast with basmati rice and ghee. And he would offer it by holding it up in the air and say, 'Take.' And then he would drop it. And he just kept holding up more and more prasad and then drop. He didn't eat any of it. Lord Garunga ate it, although he was not physically present. He said, 'There's an indigestion, what to do?' So take some water." So he took Murari's water pot and drank the whole thing. Not exactly moderation. But he's teaching what are the real remedies for the disease of material existence. The remnants of the Vaishnavas. Their water. And their words. So, Charakamuni explained that disease in the body, the mind, the atmosphere arises from pollution caused by impure sound vibrations. Even Srila Prabhupada here in New Vrindavan, he began his Vyasapuja lecture, where he elaborated on the significance of Vyasadeva. Srila Prabhupada began his lecture quoting Genesis. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So creation is born of sound. And from Omkar, the primordial sound, Gayatri is born. And sound, which was originally pure, becomes polluted, especially when high court magistrates and attorneys and priests and ministers utter lies in the name of truth. It causes pollution in the ether. The subtlest element, which affects successively grosser elements of air, water, earth, which affect what we breathe and drink and eat, and from individual maladies to mass epidemics, pollution of the ether is the root cause. And the jiva, like Brahma, who utters various hymns, and from his different hymns, various galaxies and solar systems spiral into existence, facilitated by Vishwakarma, the engineer. And each galaxy, universe, solar system is the environment for certain types of jivas, who are all endowed with some creator potency, which can either heal or harm based on the sounds and the words and the names we choose to utter. Whether our influence be grand or minute, it's created by sound. And therefore, the words we choose can create either harmony and beauty or havoc, battle in the Bible, which means utter confusion, where really nobody's on the same page. So, what is the antidote? Kalera dosani de rajan asti yega mahaguna kirtanadi krishnasya muktisanga parambhajat. Bhagavatam tells us that all the evils and perils and anomalies in the Kali Yuga can be overcome by the one blessing of this age, that Krishna comes in the sound of his holy name. And Lord Garagadai, greatest pundit the world has ever known, only wrote 8 verses of his own composition, the Shikshastra, which begins, Chetodarpana Marjana, the holy name cleanses the dust from the mind. The mind, which is the connecting media between matter and spirit. The soul, in a conditioned state, is in a comatose condition. His lens is out of focus, and he is therefore unable to reflect on spiritual truths. And by the sound vibration of the holy name, Mahamaha, Nirvana means what's extinguished? Not our individual existence. The samsara is extinguished. And the healing rays of the benediction moon expand, which bathe the soul in eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And wherever the heart goes, the body and mind will naturally follow. Srila Prabhupada is a child. He loved to play doctor. And when his sister, Bhavatarini, he imagined that she would be ill in various ways or have different injuries, and he would treat her with poultices made of garden soil. But he was very loving and caring, as he was with his disciples, especially in the later days. It became so obvious that while he's so firmly fixed in transcendence, especially when he was demonstrating what we thought was his final lesson, how to die, which is another, birth, death, disease, old age, are really mental concoctions, because for the soul there's neither birth nor death. But Srila Prabhupada is preparing us for that perfect example of how to die. And his disciples were so disturbed by this, what we thought was the last lesson. And it was beautiful to see how, though he was so fixed in transcendence, he was very in touch with the human condition and how to deal with his disciples like a father would very lovingly with his children. And even to maintain his family in his youth, Sri Prabhupada took up the profession of their family physician, Dr. Bose, and Srila Prabhupada became a pharmacist in what was like a family enterprise, or whatever you call it. And Obiel Kapoor, who became attracted to Srila Prabhupada by his preaching, he was in the research field. And he became attracted to Srila Prabhupada. Their friendship blossomed into brotherly affection. And he would go to Srila Prabhupada's pharmacy in Allahabad, where Srila Prabhupada was so personal in his dealings with all customers. And Obiel Kapoor came to have his prescription filled. And while Srila Prabhupada handed him the vial, Obiel Kapoor said, "I wish that you would give me the remedy that you take for Krishna praying." And Srila Prabhupada, in his humility, replied, "Well, really, I have no love, but I do know the formula." Obiel Kapoor said, "Tell me if it's not secret." And Srila Prabhupada sang the verse from Shikshastaka, "Jinadapi Sinechena, Tarapi Sinechena, Amani Gamanadena Kirtaniya Sadahai." We should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind. More tolerant than a tree. Not desiring respect, but willing to offer all respects to others. And Srila Prabhupada said, "I will, in time, distribute this prescription to all the world." And Obiel Kapoor said, "I thought that was just a casual pronouncement. I didn't know he had a specific plan." The plan was already given by Lord Chaitanya centuries ago. In every town and village on the surface of the earth, my name should be proclaimed. And those in the medical profession are held in high esteem by patients today, who, when something goes wrong, turn first to the doctor and last to the priest. Should be the other way around. That position of physician has an obligation and an opportunity to treat the physical, emotional, and spiritual ailments which are plaguing the world today by people who so much need to hear the possibility of forgiveness and grace and hope, which is all contained in Lord Gaurav's Shikshastaka, which is the prescription of this age of Kali. In the holy name is the only remedy for all the evils and perils of this age. And that is the gospel, the good news that all the world needs.
televisions, very blatantly, and when you enter the hospital premises, you have all these TVs, which are in patient rooms, not only one, but two. And patients go to the operating room, they're in the pre-operative area, and they're supposed to be very calm and quiet. They have these TVs. And the whole reason behind all these televisions, with all these varying sounds, is so that their ratings can go up. And so I really like your point about that, because they're right on the money, and our shastras are right on the money. But it's very interesting that how the place at one time, 20 years ago, when all the hospitals were laced with feeding in progress, it's no longer the case. It's full of polluted noise, television, radio, wires. So thank you so much for mentioning.
Very excellent point, thank you. So fill the sound waves with the sound of the holy name and the vibrations of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Depending on what Prabhu said. You said that the sound pollution is the cause of the disease, but there's so many physical causes of the physical illnesses. So
because everything progresses.
How the sound pollution is the causes the physical illnesses.
Because material creation progresses from subtle to gross. The subtlest element is ether, which is the medium for sound. It is also the medium for false ego. From ether, or look at it the other way around, from grosser to subtler, earth, water, air, fire, ether. Reverse that, and you have the process of creation, which begins from ether. What is the element within the ether? Sound. So whatever sound pervades the ether affects the air, the water, the earth, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the earth which produces the food we eat, in our consciousness.
So it's not meant direct, but it's colder at the time, warmer. It's not
tracing back to its roots. The root cause of healing or harm is in sound. And therefore, controlling the tongue, not only what we eat, what we say, has everything to do with how we harm or heal ourselves and others. Anything else?
Austerities and tendencies of the apostles and disciples, and how that's meant to bring us to love of God. So how is it that we might prevent that our tendencies and austerities don't turn to hardening our heart, but actually go towards softening our heart?
By following the prescription of the good healer. The absolute truth, we have to follow it as is prescribed by the healer. The absolute truth, as prescribed by the healer, comes with a prescription. How to chant, how to serve, how to purify our hearts. If we follow the prescription of the healer, who in this sense is the guru, the result will be softening of the heart, we write our own prescription and alter the message, it'll have a different effect. As your topic here, penance and austerity, if performed for some other purpose or motive or means than as prescribed, it will not soften the heart, it will harden it. And therefore, back to what Luke emphasized, the healer-patient relationship, which in this sense is the guru-disciple relationship, that we take the medicine as prescribed to have the proper effect. And penance and austerity, people will undergo to compensate for some real or imagined guilt. But if you're harsh with yourself, you'll be harsh with others. And then your message, your ministry will become infected with control and resentment and bitterness, hardness of heart. So it's very important that we follow the prescription of the healer, in this sense, the guru. There's a universal prescription for everyone. Chant the holy name in a humble state of mind. The guru-disciple relationship is essential because in that relationship will be revealed if we're chanting in the proper state of mind, which will produce the desired result of softening the heart, or if we're concocting our own remedies, resulting in hardness of heart. Thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada ki
jai.
Hare Krishna, just a quick word of thank you so much to Jai Krishna Prabhu and the Holy Vrindavanji for hosting us here at the Vrindavan facility for our fourth annual Sri Lankan retreat.